macheroni.
What a wonderful day that the Lord has made.
So today we are going to be focusing on the Barnabas effect. Barnabas is one of the figures that played a big role in the ministry of Paul. But it's somebody that we don't hear him much. We hear him a little, but he had contributed a lot in the ministry of Paul. So we are going to read this morning Acts chapter 9 from 26 to 31. And our last scripture will be Acts again. We are going to read chapter 15, and we will read verses 36 to 41. Acts chapter 9 from 26, it says, "When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul, on his journey, had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He talked and debated with the Hellenistic Jews, but they tried to kill him. When the believers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened, living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It increased in numbers." So the last one, that is on 15 from 36, "Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing.' Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them, but Paul did not think it wise to take him, because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left. Commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord, he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches." So we have learned last week, as in when we were getting the introduction to this series of Paul, that yes, Paul was a Roman citizen. He was a Jew, he was a Pharisee, born in Tarsus. That is a city in Cilicia, and of course, in Rome. And we have also learned that his father and his mother was the Jew. And of course, Paul, he will call himself, "I am the Hebrew of Hebrews." But one thing that we learn about Saul, so I will use the name Saul and Paul interchangeably, but that shouldn't confuse you, because we're talking about
one man. He led a campaign to stamp out Christianity because they were talking about the name of the Lord. They were talking about Christ. And if you read chapter 26, as in when Paul present himself in the court, he would talk to the authorities to say, yes, I was zealous, I was having passion to really persecute Christians, to really fight Christians, because I didn't have knowledge, I didn't understand what I was doing. But today I understand, and therefore I stand before you being an ambassador of Christ. And you will talk that every time, every now and then, whether he's in synagogues or wherever he is, he will continue to remind people that I used to persecute Christians, but this time I am the fully fledged ambassador of Christ. So now chapter 9 begins when Paul continues to hunt Christians. He was continuing with his journey to go and persecute them. He didn't even want to spare any one of them, because he then realized that these people who are talking about Christ, they are not doing the right thing. And at that time, he was continuing with his journey. And of course, this was, if we were to call it, the revolution to destroy the ministry of Christ at all cost. He was ready to do whatever he can with whatever opportunity that he can get so that this ministry should not continue. But we now learn in this chapter the conversion of Paul, that Paul was now converted. Christ would have come to him, and then he was changed from there. And it's amazing that the grace of the Lord is able to change someone who people would know that this one will be able to persecute Christians now and then. But Christ chose the same person who was persecuting Christians to say, this will be the one to go even to the Gentiles to preach the word, to continue to preach the grace. Having said that, this brings us to the most important figure in this chapter, who is Barnabas. And we want to check, we want to analyze, we want to really go into the scriptures to see what role does that figure, Barnabas, played in the life of Paul. And you start to hear about this figure in Acts chapter 4 from 36, where it says, Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means the son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. I had loved, as in when I was growing up, to have a nickname. And I have plenty of them. But today I don't want them anymore. Sometimes when I go back home into the villages, some of those I grow up with, they would want to call me by that nickname, that which I loved at that time. And I will feel embarrassed with that kind of a nickname. And I will go and point to them to say, no, no, you can't use that nickname anymore. I'm a grown-up person this time. Like everyone, Barnabas was given a nickname by the apostles. This man would have sold his field, and he was given a nickname. So his real name is Joseph, but he was given a nickname called Barnabas. And we always hear about this nickname, Barnabas, in the Bible, more than his name, Joseph. And this name nickname means the son of encouragement. And like the work of the Holy Spirit, who comes around us, who live in us to comfort us, to strengthen us, to teach us, to encourage us, Barnabas was the son of encouragement. So his name was almost equivalent with the work that which is done by the Holy Spirit. Now, we want to look from the scriptures at the roles that Barnabas would have played to shape the ministry of Paul. And one of the things that we see in the scriptures, of course, from where we have read Acts chapter 4, 36, we have read about him selling the land, and he brought all the proceeds of that land to the apostles, and hence the name Barnabas. So this has a huge impact, not only in the ministry of the Paul, but also in the church in its entirety, that believers were strengthened. Most of the people were strengthened to a level that almost all of the people who were there, it's not only him, they've went and sell their properties and they brought such proceeds in the life of Paul. And the Bible records that in the early church, because of that act, there was no one amongst the saints who was needy. There was no one amongst them who would have called his property his own. There was no one amongst them who would have said, I own this and that. Whatever they had belongs to the church. And there was no one who was needy amongst them. The Bible records that this first church had over 3,000 members, but amongst those members, there was no one in need. He encourages both the rich and the poor. He encouraged everyone that we need to give to the Lord. We need to make sure that we meet the needs of one another in the life of the church. The believers were one in heart, were one in mind, and they shared their possessions. What they had was not their own. And yes, consequently, there was no one who was needy amongst them. And this was not an act of people being told what to do. This was not an act of people being forced to do something. But it was an act of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit was there and it was able to touch those members of that particular church so that they are able to do that act of taking care of one another. So what Barnabas did was to say the people of God need to be attended to. We do not have to take the people of God for granted. We need to attend to the needs of others. And as in when we attend to the needs of others, we do it as unto the Lord. And as in when I was looking at that scripture, I was also reminded of Matthew 25, verse 42, where Christ will ask us to say, you have seen me thirsty, but you didn't give me water to drink. You have seen me, I was hungry, yet you didn't give me food. You have seen me in prison, but yes, you didn't come and look at me. You have seen me in church, and you have realized I'm in need, and you didn't do anything about it. Mother Teresa's exemplification to this text, she says, that simply means every human being that you come across, it means is God. And that's why God is able to use this language to say, you have seen me, and when you see me, you realize I do not have this and that, but you did not attend to me. As in when Barnabas would have sold his land and give the proceeds to the life of the church, he was doing it as unto the Lord. Consequently, I want to believe that the Lord will be able to say, you are a faithful servant. You were able to take care of my needs. What does this act of Barnabas say unto us as Christians? It says unto us, we need to take care of one another. We do not have to take each one of us for granted. Whether what kind of a person do you see in front of you, but if that person you have seen through the Holy Spirit, take care of the needs of that particular person. The second thing that we see as an act that which Barnabas would have done to impact the ministry of Paul is he encouraged ministry. Paul, as the important figure who persecuted Christians, had now started to preach the word of God. But as in when he was preaching the word of God, he went to the saints, and as in when he starts to talk to them about Christ, as in when he starts to talk about the grace of the Lord, they said, no, it can't be him. This one was the one who was persecuting Christians every day, left, right, and center. It can't be him who come unto us and tell us about Christ. And the word of God records they were afraid of him. But Barnabas have done something exceptional here. He risked his reputation. He risked his relationship with other Christians. He risked his life, and he took Paul by his hand, and he's the one who come with Paul to other Christians to say, I know this man. He has repented. I want to believe that as in when the believers were rejecting him, they were saying, perhaps Barnabas is now a spy. Maybe he's coming here with Paul so that we start to proclaim Christ. And as in when we proclaim Christ, then Paul's work will be easy. He will be able to arrest all of us. Because he was working with the rulers. He had a permission to persecute Christians. But all of a sudden, this man is appearing and say, I want to talk about Christ. If a gangster enters this church this morning and we know to say this is a gangster, he stays in Mamelodi and he wants to talk about Christ, it will be amazing, isn't it? And same here as in like Paul, as in when he appears in the church and he said, I want to talk about Christ, this Christ who was crucified, this Christ who was risen. They said, no, it can't be him. But look at the role that Barnabas played. Barnabas take this murderer by hand. Barnabas take this persecutor of Christians by hand. He said, believers, believe me, this man has repented. And yes, he wants to preach the word of God. He risked his reputation. As I've said, they might have thought maybe he's a spy now, maybe he's recruited, but he did that act of encouraging ministry. How many people do we see in our lives? And you realize that this young man has a potential. This young woman has a potential. But because of his or her past, people cannot listen. And you are there, you do not say a thing. And it says unto us, we should rise up to the occasion and be the Barnabas of today, so that others are able to be accepted in the society, so for the advancement of the kingdom of God. Barnabas encourages evangelism. He would walk with Paul time and again. He would walk with Paul in all the cities to preach the word of God, to continue to evangelize, to continue to speak the Christ who's crucified. And as and when they were walking in that unity, the Bible records that there were so many people who came to the Lord. And when you see that partnership, you would then realize that Barnabas has done an act of encouraging evangelism. He had made sure that he encouraged common brotherhood amongst the Gentiles and the Jews, because the Jews were saying, no, it's only us. But they have made sure that they encourage brotherhood amongst the Gentiles and the Jews. And for them, it was not about position. They've done it with faithfulness. They've done it with humility. And yes, they fought for Gentile inclusion. One other thing, that the role that Barnabas played in the ministry of Paul, is that he encourages reconciliation. You will then realize in chapter 15, that which we have read, that there was a time where they were supposed to go out to encourage other saints. And as in when they were supposed to go out and encourage other saints, Barnabas suggests to Paul to say, can we take John Mark with us? And Paul says, no, you can't. This man is a coward. He deserted us while we were in the field. And therefore, we can't go with him. We can't work with cowards in this ministry. We need to go all out. We need to be certain of what we are doing. And consequently, Barnabas and Paul, they split. There was two groups. Barnabas went to another side and Paul went to another side. But as in when ministry was going on, as in when evangelism was going on, Barnabas continued to work with John Mark to strengthen him, that even when sometimes it's tough in this journey, even when we are proclaiming the word of God is tough, you need to be strong. And hence, John Mark continued with the ministry. I want to believe that this was an embarrassing act, that I am coming and somebody is suggesting to tell, let's take Solvin with us. And somebody says, no, this one is a coward. We can't go with him. Leave him here. But the role that Barnabas played here, he said, no, we are not going to desert him. We are going to carry him by our hand. So he continued with the same task that he did when Paul was being rejected. Now is the same Paul who's rejecting John Mark. And he said, Barnabas, I will take John Mark with me to the field. And as in when you continue to read the letters of Paul, Paul will talk with Christians to say, I urge you, brothers and sisters. I urge you, brothers and sisters. He's no longer taking this kind of approach that he has taken at this particular moment in time with John Mark. And I want to believe that Paul was strengthened. Paul was encouraged to say there are those that are still infant in ministry, and we have to take them by our hands. There are those who cannot feed from solid food, but they need soft porridge, and therefore we will have to take them with us. This is a major challenge in the life of the church, that we need to encourage reconciliation in the life of the church. Sometimes we watch, as in brothers and sisters, they are fighting, but we do not say a thing. And the scripture this morning is calling us to say we need to encourage reconciliation. It's not easy. It's difficult, but we are called to encourage reconciliation in the life of the church. Of course, South Africa is an open book. We are growing from the past, where apartheid was the order of the day. And as in when today we say we are building a multicultural church, some will be saying, no, we can't do it with black people. Some they will be saying, no, we can't do it with white people. And it is our opportunity as a church to say, let's go and encourage reconciliation amongst the believers. When I was in a church, which I'm not going to mention by a name, rather let me mention the name, that is a Reformed church. I was in a church council. And I was troubled by that every time we call a church council, there was no a white person amongst us. But the Reformed Church will be saying, our leaders will be saying, no, the white people are doing 1-2-5, 1-2-7. And these are the leaders. When apartheid was deep, they never said a thing. But when we are saying we are in a freedom, let's reconcile, let's move on for the advancement of the kingdom of God, they now started reverse apartheid. And as a coward, I said, I resign from this church council. So we had a meeting. They said, no, you cannot resign. I said, I'm resigning. We are no longer part of a white church, but the white church is our agenda. God is no longer the agenda of this church. It's white people who are the agenda of this church. Why today? We're supposed to have talked about this then. We're supposed to have really not have fear, because we are not given the spirit of fear, but the spirit of courage. We never did it. But now today, the white people are the agent of the church. No more evangelism, no more ministry, white people. And I said, I resign. And when the pastor visit me, now I'm not going to mention the name, and he says to me, no, you can't. You have done this and that. I said, no, it's not me, it's the Lord. He said, no, you can't. And it was a fight. And I said, I'm disturbed that the agenda of the church is no longer evangelism. It's no longer the greatest commission. It's about the white people. As if these white people, there's nothing that they've done which is good. As if, as black people, everything that we're doing is right. And he says to me, Solvin, let's accept that black people will evangelize to black people. White people will evangelize to white people. And I said, I cannot stay in a church where the agenda is that we need to part ways. Whites on the other side, blacks on the other side. All of a sudden, all we are the people of God. I said, we need to preach reconciliation in the life of the church. This is the same Reformed Church that I'm giving example about, wherein there's racial tensions, and that which we are going to fetch them from afar, instead of continue to encourage reconciliation. As Christians, we can continue to encourage reconciliation by we are going all out, and we even pray about it, that white people must recruit white people and black people must recruit black people. This scripture this morning, it's saying, if you are a white man, if you are a white woman and you have got that mentality, no, let's talk reconciliation. If you are a black person and you have this mentality, no, let's preach reconciliation. And let there be reconciliation in our homes, in our communities, in our churches, in our schools, in our workplaces, wherever we are. We need to emulate what Barnabas did of preaching reconciliation amongst two brothers who had issues. And they did, with the Jews, with the Gentiles. They promote brotherhood amongst them. That is the last thing that I said I must share with you as a role that Barnabas played to the ministry of Paul. But why encourage one another? Why is it so important that as Christians we encourage one another? Life in itself is a battle. And in fact, if you are a Christian, you need to take your cross every day and follow Christ. And therefore, for this reason, we need to encourage one another. We are talking about the greatest figure here, which is Paul, who God would have go to him straight and fetch him and say, you need to suffer for my word. You need to suffer. You need to preach the word of God to the Gentiles, including the Israelites. I wouldn't think it was necessary that he be encouraged, because he saw Christ himself. But carrying our cross every day is difficult. When we say we are building a multiracial, a multicultural church, we need the Barnabas of today to encourage one another in the life of the church, to uplift each other, to serve one another in the life of the church. And yes, we do not have to take each other for granted. From today onwards, the word of God is saying, let's utter the words of encouragement. Let's sing the song of encouragement. Let's walk the talk and encourage others. But unfortunately, in the life of the church, even the disciples, when Christ was going out, for those who were non-believers, when he sit and dine with them, he will be accused by even the disciples that which he was training. They couldn't understand. But today, we are fortunate that now we know that we need to encourage one another. If Dialogue Community Church this morning had to give you a nickname, what would your nickname be? Maybe Bar Gossiper or Bar Divider or Bar Confuser or Bar Destroyer. I invite you this morning that if you were to get a nickname, let's get a nickname of Barnabas as a son of encouragement. But this, we cannot do it on our own. The figure Barnabas has resembled unto us that he was filled by the Holy Spirit. It was God who was using him. So it's not a mere of feelings. It's not a mere of excitement that let me run there and encourage others. Let me run there and give to the needy. Let me run there and do this and that. It should be done prayerfully. We need to seek the face of the Lord and invite the Lord to say, God, use us the way you want to use us. It's not a matter of excitement, because this journey is not an easy journey. And the scripture is calling us this morning to say, let's go out there and encourage others. Let's, in the church, encourage one another, love one another. And that is the summary of the law, that as in when we fulfill the needs of others, we experience the blessing of the Lord, we experience the joy of the Lord. And if we don't, we miss the blessings of the Lord. We miss the joy of the Lord. May the Lord bless his word. Amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this wonderful morning. What a day you have made with us. We thank you that for this work that you have called us to do, we need to encourage one another. We need to take each other by hand and encourage one another. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for these trying times that we are living in with COVID. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for those who have lost their jobs, for those who have lost family members, to say, Father, strengthen them. Help us to be agents of transformation to comfort them. But also help us and revive us for those who still have jobs, for those who still have resources, that as a church we rise up and go out there and become encouragers and amongst ourselves as well. We also pray for forgiveness of our sins, that which we do every day, that sometimes instead of reconciliation, we fuel decisions. Father, be with us. Father, carry us. We know we cannot do this on our own, but we ask you to encourage us. Amen.